What a blessing it is to be here together on this Christmas Eve day. And amen to all that we've done so far together and what we'll continue to do with the time that we have left. We have gathered today to celebrate Jesus Christ, the one who came to save the world, to redeem her, to restore her, to make all things new. It is true, Jesus was born into a sinful and troubled world, but his light overwhelmed the darkness. Love had come to the world in a manger in Bethlehem, and after they had given him his name, Emmanuel, God with us, Joseph and Mary, they were visited by shepherds who had been summoned by a great company of angels. And they were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." And then in the Gospel of John, instead of there being this beautiful climactic nativity scene of Jesus, what we find is instead this immaculate prologue that reveals to us the divine nature of Jesus. And for me, verses 3 through 5, they're a paramount picture of who Jesus is. Listen to these beautiful words. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And I just want to sit on those verses just for a minute, and I want to point out at least three, there may be more, at least three great theological concepts that are revealed in these verses. First, Jesus, the Word, is sovereign over all creation. And then second, life, lasting, true, abiding life is only found in him. He reveals this later in John 14 where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then third, the truth of Jesus being the light of men. Don't you just love that picture? As Stephen just led us through this meditation and we saw the lights feathering out and the darkness became light. Even as I look out amongst the crowd, there's darkness except for where there's a few of the electrical candles with our little ones, turning them on and off. The light overcomes the darkness, right? That's just the way that it is. And so in him, in Jesus, there is no darkness at all. And by his light, we too, like the shepherds, are being summoned. We're being called out to come and to fall before him and to worship him, to follow him, to love him, and to shine brightly for him in the world. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting calling to be a part of. So in this series, as we've led up to this day, we've been asking the question, as our video just asked the question, what child is this? Well, he is the son of Mary and Joseph. He is Jesus who has come to save us from our sins. He is Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world. But listen, he is also the light of men, or as self-identified in the Gospel of John, he is the light of the world. And so as we do our very best to live faithfully in these in-between times, these times between Jesus' first advent where he came and put on flesh in a manger, and the time in which he'll come again, as we live in between those times, we do our very best to live faithfully for him. And Jesus has commanded us to be his witnesses to the world. And as a part of that role as witnesses, being a light to the world is a dimension of that role. So here's what I want to say first. Here's what I believe about our role as lights. Being a light to the world is not just about moral influence, though that's where we tend to go with this metaphor. It's so much more than that. And matter of fact, I would say it's primarily about being Jesus' witnesses to the world.
Listen again to his calling on our lives from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Who here, when your candle was lit this morning, went, "Oh, no"? No, when your candle got lit, you held it out for all to see. That's what Jesus is saying here. You don't hide the light. Instead, you put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so this light metaphor, it is rich and it is meaningful to us today, yes, but in the Jewish world, in the Hebrew scriptures, it took on deep meaning. So what Jesus is doing here is he's taking language of old and he's attaching it to a new and a shocking mission to the Jewish people, the Israelites. And so what I want to do is I just want to use a few verses here to give us some insight to that. Let's start in Matthew, because this is where that command's found, right? In Matthew 5. If you back up one chapter to Matthew chapter 4, listen to what Jesus is saying as he begins his preaching ministry. He quotes Isaiah chapter 9, and he says, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." The metaphor of light has been used for centuries upon centuries, and it was very meaningful. And the Hebrew people could connect to it automatically. It was talked about way before the time of Jesus, and Jesus is quoting Isaiah to bring it back. This example from Isaiah is one of so many from the Hebrew scriptures where the image of light is meant to be impactful upon the darkness. And what Jesus is doing is he's connecting this light metaphor that's been used in the Hebrew tradition from time upon time again, and he's connecting it to a new, shocking mission. He's challenging his people. His Jewish people, he's saying, come on, it's time to fulfill this mission that Isaiah prophesied about so long ago. God wants his chosen people to take him to the rest of the world, the Gentile world. And so Jesus, I believe in Matthew 5, as he's commanding us to be the light of the world, he's primarily pointing to a new, shocking Gentile mission, calling upon his disciples to take the gospel beyond Israel into the rest of the world. So what I'm trying to get us to see in the little bit of time that we have is that once we connect this command to be the light of the world, once we connect that message to the bigger story of God, it all of a sudden takes on a deeper, more meaningful message. It affirms our role as God's priests and ministers to the world. In other words, the follower of Jesus is summoned by Jesus to come into the mission field on behalf of God and for God for the sake of the world. So this idea of light, it evokes the idea of impact into the darkness. The impact that we're to have on others through our words and through our deeds, not by some "we are better than you" or "holier than thou" type of behavior or attitude. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about. Go back and look at the Beatitudes right before Matthew 14 through 16. We are to be merciful, humble. We're to be peacemakers. We're to do these things in the right posture so that people will see the Lord in us and give him glory. So it's a great responsibility, right? To take on this dimension of our role as witnesses, to be the light of the world. And I believe it presses upon us a question that I want you to think about. How do we effectively participate in the mission of God by being light? What does that mean for us, and what does it look like? I want to hopefully give you a few stories, a few illustrations to help broaden our imagination of what that might mean for us. So first, I believe it's significant for us to highlight that Jesus is not saying to us that we ought to be light. Jesus says, "You are light." Right? Go back and read it. He's declaring something upon us. It's not you ought to be. It's not you should be. It's you are light. This reminds me of one of my favorite things that I get to do from time to time as a minister. Every once in a while, people who know me and who I know will ask me if I'll marry them. And so we'll sit down and we'll do some premarital sessions. And then on that wedding day, my favorite part of the whole wedding ceremony is at the very end. It's the pronouncement, right? It's the pronouncement of, I now pronounce you husband and wife. And right before that moment, they were not that. So facetiously, there's a little bit of like a power stroke on my ego, right? I have this power vested within me. I now pronounce you husband and wife. You weren't that just half a second ago. So here's my point. And those of you who are married will get this right away. Once I pronounce them husband and wife, I'll just speak for the guys. He's going to spend the rest of his life trying to become what I just told him he was. I now pronounce you a husband. Oh, no. What exactly does that mean? And we spend the rest of our lives trying our best to become a godly husband who would give ourselves up for our wife as Christ did the same thing for the church. We try to figure out all of what that means. And it's the same way with these words of Jesus, right? He says, you are light. It's not we ought to be light or that we should be light. In the moment that you decide to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, God declares upon you, you are my light to the world. And then, for the rest of our journey toward Jesus, we do our very best to try to figure out what it means to be what God has just declared us to be. So what does this look like? What is it that I'm describing to you? We see it in the world around us. Let me give you another story. In late July, as Tara's family gathered at downtown Harris Hospital, we were all in shock. Her grandmother had just been life-flighted from Stephenville, where she was visiting one of the cousins, to Fort Worth. And once everyone had arrived, the medical staff were able to stabilize her, and they came into our waiting room, and they invited us all, whoever wanted to come and talk to her could do that. And though we didn't want to give up hope in any way, shape, or form, we sensed in that room, and no one actually said this, it was just, you could feel it. We sensed that maybe this might be our goodbyes. And so we each took a turn and we went and talked to her. And the emotions in our little waiting room, they were heavy and they were thick. And Tara's grandpa was especially upset, understandably. And in those difficult hours, in that little bitty waiting, and I'm telling you, Tara's family is huge. And we had this little web. It's about the size of this lower stage. We're all like, hi. They literally were crammed in like sardines in this little waiting room. And in walks this angelic nurse sent from the Lord. And though her profession was nurse, it could have been you, it could have been me, walking into a room where there's just kind of a cloud of pain and sorrow, and hurt. What do you do in those moments? Maybe you remember God's whisper. You were light. And so she came in and she sat with us. And the peace that I felt enter that room almost instantaneously with her presence, I'm telling you, a peace filled the room. It was tangible. And everybody was looking to her. She asked genuine questions. She sat and she comforted Tara's grandfather. She laughed with us. She cried with us. She even prayed with us. And then maybe to top it all off, she held Paul's hand as he walked down the hospital aisle to say his goodbyes to his wife. And I'm just telling you, guys, I'm just telling you, through her comforting presence, she didn't say anything magical. She didn't try to force anything. She was just light. And the love and the comfort that she evoked upon our family was overwhelming. And we couldn't do anything. Listen, we couldn't do anything but give glory to God that He had sent her to us. This is the role that God calls us all to step into in these in-between times, in these times between Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and the time that He will come again in His glory. In these in-between times, this is the role that God has called us into, to go and to be light to the world, to represent Him as a witness, as priest, mediating His goodness, His grace, His love, His light to the world. God has declared us. He has declared upon us, you are light. So I give this to you. Light is not just about what we do. It's about who we are. We are priests of King Jesus. We are His, and He has affirmed us to be light to the world. It is who we are, and so we faithfully open up ourselves to His constant care and guidance. We love others because He first loved us. We bear others' burdens because He first showed us what it meant to take on the burdens of others. We serve others because Jesus first showed us what it meant to come and to move into our neighborhood, putting on flesh and walking among us and loving us and ministering to us and teaching us and dying for us and being raised to life again for the sake of the world. So we do our best to reflect His light in our life, because even in the darkest moments in our lives, He is our constant illumination that never grows dim. Jesus is the light of the world. And as we daily position ourselves in His presence, we more and more reflect His glory. Now, for just a moment, I want to say this. Even in the midst of the beautiful truths of Advent, the truths that Jesus Christ has ushered into the world, true hope and joy and peace and love and light, we all find ourselves longing for His second coming because we're surrounded by painful realities. Painful realities of different kinds. And you may be here today and everything's right in your world and you're completely filled with joy and awe of the wonder of God. Praise the Lord for that. There's others of us that are hurting this morning for various reasons. And that is where the people of God are called to step into the gaps and to be the tangible expression of God's love and light and peace and comfort. And so this morning, we are surrounded by one another. There is great love and light in this room. And so, as the band comes to prepare to lead us in our next few songs, I just want to ask us to do something together, to do something in order to be a tangible expression of God's light and love to one another. We're going to use the next few moments to respond to the Lord. And if you need someone to pray with you this morning, I'm going to ask our shepherds to just kind of fan out around us and surround us around the worship center. Just step out and go to one of them and let them know your prayer requests this morning. If today you're ready to give your life to the Lord in baptism, I would love to talk to you about that. I'm going to be right down here. Just make your way over to me and let me know about your desire to put on the Lord in baptism this morning. We would love to assist you with that. But you know what, church? We know each other pretty well. We do have some guests among us we welcome them this morning, but many of us have been out to Mesa for years, and you know someone this morning that is hurting for whatever reason. I'm just going to ask you, if you're near them, just put a hand on their shoulder. If you know them well enough, give them a hug. Be a tangible expression of His light and love this morning. So during these next few songs, let's sing together. Let's pray together. Let's respond to the Lord.